And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm happy to open today's morning show with Doug Instanis, Artistic and Managing Director of the Racine Theatre Guild, who is also serving as the director of the Guild's next production. And from all accounts, from everyone I have talked to who has any association with this production, this is something very special, a really interesting play and a wonderful cast and a really great production. It's Now and Then by Sean Grennan, and it opens this coming weekend and runs through the 10th of March. And we're going to be talking with Doug Instanis about the play, and we'll be sort of talking around the play, as a matter of fact, because we don't want, of course, give away too much for any of you who are planning to see it. But we will hopefully explore it enough to entice you to want to check out Now and Then by Sean Grennan, again, opening Friday night at the Racine Theatre Guild. Doug Instanis, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
As I was doing a little preview of this with Dave McGrath a little earlier in the morning, somehow it came out the managing and artistic director of the Racine Theatre Guild, and usually, at least the way I announce it, I usually do it the other way around, the artistic and managing director. And I realize it just kind of in the sort of the tangle of which comes first or should come first, that those are so different from each other, the artistic part versus the managing part.
Depends on the day.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, and that sometimes the things that you are wrestling with have no direct link to maybe artistic matters, and yet in a lot of ways that makes the artistic possible.
Yeah, well, you know, theater, first and foremost, is a business. We have heat, light, and power bills and fundraising and cleaning to do and, you know, payroll to pay and all of those things. So we do a business, but our product is art, you know, the artistic part. And that's why I've loved this job for so long, is because I get to do a little bit of both. And, you know, some people only get to do one or the other, and then they have to use their free time to, you know, volunteer here or volunteer there. I get to do both. I get to use both parts of my brain.
Yeah.
People would disagree with that, but I do try to use both parts of my brain.
Is that always been your position at the Theater Guild? I mean, from the moment you were hired? I mean, actually, when you were hired, Norm McPhee, of course, was still in place as the ultimate head of the Guild. But at what point did you become these two things?
Well, I started out, I always started out as two things. I first was hired as Associate Artistic Director and Audience Development was my, when I was, and I did that for 8 years. And then when Norm retired, then I took over his position, which was Managing Artistic Director.
Okay.
So for the last 22 years, I've done that.
So there's a long legacy at the Guild of those two arenas being overseen by the same lucky person.
Well, it's hard because when you have a small organization to split duties and split authority and responsibility, and then, you know, does the artistic, you know, like the rep can do that because they're a multi-million dollar huge corporation. But, you know, in our things, one day I'm taking out the trash, the next day I'm directing a play. So we have to do both.
Yeah, very good. Well, we are going to talk mostly about not taking out the trash, but artistic matters, namely this production that you have been heading up, of Now and Then by Sean Grennan. First of all, let's talk a little bit about this playwright and about another play of his that was done at the Theater Guild that I, for one, remember really, really fondly.
Oh, Tin Woman. We did that. That's how we got familiar with this playwright. He has a gift of telling great stories about real people and about real issues. And he throws just enough comedy and humor and heart into it that we like these people and we enjoy these people and we want to find out what happens to these people. And Tin Woman, you know, is a good example of that. There were moments of heartbreak and moments of joy and silliness and fun, just like life, right? And I think everybody who comes to see one of his plays can find somebody that they can relate to. Either it's themselves or a family member or a friend. And I think that's what makes theater universal. We can all find something in each play specific to us. And then there's stuff to talk about. You know, some plays you just laugh or, oh, that was great music, or that was just silly and fun. And then you go and about your life. Both of these plays are, I think, plays that people will go and have some coffee or maybe a glass of wine after the show and talk about it. And what did you see? And what did you do? And, oh, I remember this part. And we fondly joke about the people that come back and see it two and three times. They'll catch things that they didn't catch the first time because the writing is so clever that everything has a double meaning to it, and you don't know about that until later on in the process. So I'm excited to see the audience's reaction to that, and we're getting really close. The cast is itching to have an audience.
I want to ask you about one other facet of Sean Grennan, and that is the fact that in addition to being a playwright, he has also been a very busy actor. I mean, in some big films and guest starred in a number of different television series. I mean, he really has a long list of credits. And when you look at his photograph, it's like, oh, I've seen that guy. I mean, I couldn't tell you exactly where I've seen him, but I know I've seen him in probably multiple times on television. And so this is the case of someone who is an actor who's also a playwright. And although I'm sure there are plenty of actors who turn out to be lousy playwrights, there are also plenty of actors for which that skill, that talent, serves them really well as a playwright, or at least I'm guessing that can be a real plus.
I think so, and I just found out recently how kind he is. He sent a handwritten letter on his private stationery to the cast and crew, wishing them a happy opening and thanking them for doing the show. And I know how hard it is to put on a play and all the time and effort that you've spent on doing this. And thank you. And I was just like, oh, wow. I don't think I've ever received a handwritten note from a playwright before. Most of the time, they just collect their check and want to know who's doing their play. But he really took an investment in us you know, we'll, guess we'll look at more of his plays.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Well, he's originally from Oak Park, Illinois, so from the heart of the Midwest, where at least a lot of us are pretty nice. So for those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with Doug Instanis, artistic and managing director, managing and artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild, and the director of this next production that opens this Friday night, a play by the aforementioned Sean Grennan called Now and Then. So, when the season gets put together, I mean, when the play reading committee submits a proposal of a slate of plays and those are approved and everything is set in place, do you get first dibs on what you yourself direct versus the productions that are going to be kind of farmed out to various guest directors?
Yeah, I'm the one that decides, you know, what the artistic staff's going to be. And basically, it's really high-level stuff. I direct every other one. So that's how that works. I try not to do two back-to-back just because it's hard to direct two shows at one time. You have your focus in different areas. So I use the guest directors to because I'm in rehearsal for one, and then we have a performance for one. So this allows me the opportunity to really focus on one show at a time. I mean, I'm never really focused on one show at a time because you have auditions and you have pre-production meetings and design meetings. But I don't have to be in rehearsal for two different shows at the same time.
Right.
So so basically, we lay it out that way. Some of the shows are much more technically complicated, and because I work there full-time, it's just good business for me to do those shows that would require you know, guest directors don't work here 40 hours a week. They have other jobs. So some of that is determined on the demands of the show. But basically it's I do every other show.
Right. So I guess I was just leading into the question of, is this a play you very specifically wanted to do? I mean, did you come into this excited and really wanting to be the director of this play?
I did. I mean, I have some reservations about a play that, you know, traditionally dramas or comic dramas don't sell very well. And because people want to be entertained and they like musicals and they like broad comedy. But actors and directors love these type of plays. You know, we did Cemetery Club a little while ago, and that's kind of the same issue where it's funny a lot of the time, but then there's heart to it. Mm-hmm. And I would say Now and Then has more heart than comedy to it, but it still has some wonderful moments, things to think about, things to talk about with the actors. And this is the play actors love to do because this line could mean this or this line could mean that. And we try different things and we experiment and we work as a team. There's only four people in the cast, so that chemistry is really, really important. And so it's been fun. It's fun to explore and to just go into play. And it's not about opening the door at the right time and getting your costume changed at this time and slamming the door and falling down and all of that. It's just about heart and about human emotion. And I think if I can speak for the actors, this is an actor play. This is a play that actors want to do.
Sure. It sounds like it. So in a nutshell, tell us kind of the heart and soul of the story of Now and Then, and Now and Then, at least what you feel like you can tell us.
Sure. And there's just a big reveal in the play that we're trying hard to keep from the audience until, almost the end of the first act. So basically, a man walks into a bar in 1981, and the bartender and he have a nice conversation, and then the bartender's girlfriend comes in, and the man, this mysterious man, offers them $2,000 to just sit and talk with them for a while. He has something he has to do in an hour, and he just would like to sit and talk to them. And Abby is a waitress who really wants to be a teacher, and he is a struggling, Jamie is a struggling jazz musician who's working in a bar trying to save enough money to kind of go out and live his career. So $2,000 in 1981 is a lot of money for them. So they're intrigued in this mysterious man who comes, and they have drinks and they talk and they have stories, and it's getting weird. You know, what's going on with this guy? Why is he here? Why does he have $2,000 to just sit and talk? Nobody does that, you know. And then we find out about this guy's life, and then a mysterious woman shows up, and that's about it for the plot that I want to tell you. But it's it has a lot more to it than that. Once we find out who these people are, why they are there, what they represent, it really takes off. The play really takes off and talks about a lot of things. Basically, I'm 62 now, and you look back at your life and the decisions that you made, and the you talk about the fork in the road all the time. You know, you go down column A, you do go this way, column B, this, column C, that. And I think everybody relates to that. Everybody has, choices that we've made in our life, to have children, to take this job, to move to a city, to, whatever it is in your life that you've chosen to do, there's also the flip side of that. And there's a line in the play about 3:14 in the morning, what are you thinking about? You know, we've all been up in the middle of the night, shoulda, woulda, coulda type of thing. And those decisions, are they healthy? Are they good? We made choices. And sometimes we live by those choices. Sometimes we wish we could have had other things or wonder what it would be like if I'd have played those lottery number tickets, or if I would have done this or the other thing, or if I finished my degree, or if I gone to a different school. So again, I think there's something everybody's going to be able to relate to. We've all said and done and made choices in our life. Some of them have worked out well. Some of them haven't. Sometimes we second guess things. And then our path, takes a certain, goes a certain way. And again, I think this is something that we can all discuss after seeing the show and seeing how it relates to us and what choices we made. And I don't want to make it sound like it's some heavy moral lesson for us all to learn, because it's not. It's about life and people, and there's a lot of laughter and joy. And human emotions. We even have two small dance numbers in the show. He talks about going on a date and dancing and mirror balls. And then it's also fun because those of us that were alive in 1981, the asteroid game is a very important game in this show. And a jukebox where I don't even know if they have the type of jukeboxes as we grew up with, where the record pops down, and I think they're all digital now, aren't they?
Right, I think so. I had heard that you were on the lookout for an Asteroids game because this play is set in 1981. Is it particularly important that it's set in 1981? I mean, I'm the script says that, and I obviously it makes sense to go for that if you possibly can. But I wonder if there are ways in which this story really belongs in 1981.
No, it could be anything in the past, because it talks about now and then. So whatever then is, it could be 70s, it could be 60s, it could be, you know, 80s. 80s isn't that far then for me, but for other people, they weren't born yet.
Right.
So
right.
For some of the cast members, they weren't born yet. So it just has to be somewhere in the past. We can talk about, the things that went on a while ago.
Sure. You mentioned that this is the kind of play that, on your way home, you're likely to be talking about it. And even as you're getting ready for bed, you may still be kind of talking about some of the interesting questions and issues that the play has raised. Thought-provoking, I guess, is the tired term for that. I'm curious, in putting a production together, how much time is there for you and your cast to sit around talking about various lines in the play and what they might potentially mean, or the lessons that are buried? Or is there just too much to do to not have very much time to do that?
Actually, this play did allow us to do that because of only four people in the cast. And it's not a particularly long show. I think it's going to come under 2 hours with 15-minute intermission. So first act is 52 minutes and 40-something for the second act, and with only four people. We actually had Acting 101, where we went and talked about scoring a script and talked about, looking at the author's intention and, breaking down each beat in the play and what does this mean and what could it mean. And then we talk a lot about, playing different things. There's are you angry or are you embarrassed or are you, so we've had a lot of those conversations, and two of our cast members who are roommates, they sit over wine in the late night hours and discuss this line or that line. And again, I think it's fun because most of the time it's pretty straightforward. This is what that means. Okay, well now this could mean that, or it could mean this. Mm. And if it means this, how does that affect you? And so we've had some really nice conversations about that. And I think that's fun when it's not just rote, when the actor and the director really get to look at the script and say, well, in our production, this is what this is going to mean. In other productions, it might mean something else. But today, this is what there's a good example of that. There's a dance number where it's written to be a certain way. And we talked about it, and we said, well, let's try it this way. And, it's the same intent that the author had, but on our stage, in our situation, it might work better like this. So we tried it and said, oh, that's great. That's good. And then, of course, there's music. Lauren Instant is my daughter, is doing the music for it, and that also sets the tone. I'll give this away. We're using the new Beatles song "Now and Then." Yeah. It's a remake of an old Beatles song that wasn't released, and you would think it was written for the play. The word choices and the melody and the combination of the new sound and the old sound—it's just beautiful. And that brings a different energy. Then the actors feel that, and then they respond differently. So. And that's where theater becomes an art form, where it's not about everybody doing the exact same thing all the time. It's about bringing your own interpretation and your own audience and your own experiences in our thrust stage. And I think that has been the most challenging part because, okay, a guy walks into a bar. Well, is he going to sit at the bar the whole time? Not on our stage.
Right.
because we have a thrust stage, there, you know, we have to find movement and we have to do stuff. And we've really been able to, the actors have done a marvelous job of using the space. And so it's not just two people sitting at a bar.
Right.
We're finding things to do. They're moving around. They got a lot of energy. And so that makes our production very different than anybody else's production just because of the set.
Hmm. I want to give you a quick opportunity to talk about your cast of four. And I should think it's of supreme importance when you have a cast of just four that that there is a very palpable chemistry between them. Oh. And you can't afford to have a weak link when you have just four actors. And it sounds like you have a really, really fine group.
I do. And we talk a lot about this is a team sport. Theater is a team sport and how we play off of each other and how we work off of each other. It's not a bunch of robots. It's a living, breathing thing. And very lucky to have these people donate this much time and effort. And one of the things that I so enjoy when the audience sees a play is like, wow, these are amateur actors. They don't get paid. I said, nope, they do it for free. And they donate a lot and a lot of time. So Andrew Dorse plays, I'm just going to give you the names of the cast. So again, because I don't want people to read into too much things here. So Andrew Dorse, Bob Benson, Maddie Enderlink, and Jane Myers are two men and two women of the cast. And, you know, they have a lot of lines and a lot of things to do. And it's just kind of been a joy working with them as we all kind of explore the text. And so I'm excited to see what the audience's reaction is going to be.
Right. I want to say that, you know, first of all, I love a play that's a little on the short side. I mean, that leaves you wanting more. I think that's always great. I love a play that's small in terms of a relatively small cast, so there's less to keep track of, and you really get to know the people. I mean, like each and every one, they're not kind of lost in a sea of faces. And I love a play that leaves me thinking and you know, kind of mulling things over as I leave the theater. And there's no better feeling than leaving the theater and kind of overhearing that amongst other theater goers that they're also, you know, they're not talking about the Packers or what
right.
to have for breakfast the next morning. I mean, they are talking about the play that they just saw.
Right.
That's a really rich experience for everybody. So.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. I hope people find that, you know, of course, I'm biased. I think it's a very thought-provoking, interesting play, especially where I am in my life. So it speaks to me.
Right. I suspect it'll speak to me as well and to a lot of people who are going to be attending Now and Then by Sean Grennan. So you are in the midst of final rehearsals, right?
Yeah.
Remind our listeners about exactly when Now and Then is going to be performed.
We open Friday, and we run for 3 weeks. And we have performances not this week on Thursday, but mostly it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday the following two weekends. And you can call the box office at 262-633-4218 or go on our webpage and order tickets or stop by the box office noon to 6 Monday through Friday and we'll get you some tickets.
Fantastic. Doug Instanis is the director of this production of Sean Grennan's Now and Then opening this Friday night at the Racine Theater Guild. Good to talk with you again, Doug, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.